This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Between the sheets on iRadio's group chat. And as you may know, it's Mental Health Awareness Week. So tonight we're talking about the connection between mental health, relationships, dating, sex and emotional intimacy. Because the way we're feeling mentally can have a huge impact on how we connect with the people closest to us. Joining me now is psychotherapist Chloe Callanan from RUL Therapy, who's here to help us unpack the signs someone might be struggling, how to support a partner in a healthy way, and why communication is so important in relationships. Chloe, welcome back to the show. To start us off, how closely linked are mental health and romantic relationships? Can one really impact the other?
Hello, thank you so much for having me back. They are definitely deeply intertwined when we talk about mental health and romantic relationships. Our relationships are often what I would describe as the weather of our lives. So we've all had that feeling before. Imagine a Friday, the weather's stunning, the sun is shining. We have that kind of pep in our step. The same can apply to our relationships. So when things are good, we feel more resilient, more hopeful, excited for life. But when they're not, when things are a bit rocky, it's hard to focus on anything else. We start to, you know, question ourselves and our stress levels just skyrocket and it starts to bleed into, you know, different areas of our lives. And yeah, absolutely. One can absolutely impact the other. So a supportive relationship can be a massive protective factor for our mental health. And on the other hand of that, chronic relationship stress can actually trigger or worsen issues like anxiety or depression, or, you know, maybe if you haven't experienced them before, it can actually cause, you know, symptoms of anxiety and depression to, you know, come forward in us.
Sometimes people might not realise that, you know, themselves or their partner are struggling in some way. What are some kind of common warning signs that people could try and pay more attention to when it comes to maybe mental health showing up in a relationship?
You know, what I always say to people when we're looking for signs in other people that, you know, mental health may be an issue is look for changes in what we call their baseline behavior. So like that, you know your partner probably better than anyone, or even if it's a close friend or family member, how do they behave day in and day out? So if a partner is usually quite social and then they start to kind of go into their shell a little bit, they mightn't be seeing their friends as much or going out as much. Or if, you know, there's any changes in their sleep pattern or their eating habits, or maybe even if it's training, you know, some changes like that can actually significantly highlight there might be something going on, you know, under the surface.
It's natural as well that these mental health struggles that may appear could affect intimacy and sex as well in relationships. I imagine I'd be correct in saying that.
Of course, yeah. Look, mental health struggles, there's plenty of studies out there over the years to show that mental health struggles can actually kill libido and make physical touch or physical intimacy just feel so overwhelming. But it's a key thing here to remember that it's rarely about a lack of attraction or a lack of love for the other person. It's usually about the brain being just so stuck in survival mode rather than connection mode. And then of course, like, that gets really tough then because it bleeds into other areas of the relationship then. So communication can be affected, connection can be affected, you know, that bonding overall can be affected, and it can really, really take a toll on any relationship.
If you notice someone is struggling emotionally and you've picked up on these signs, what's the best way to approach the conversation without making someone feel a little bit attacked or anything like that?
Of course, and look, these conversations, they're never easy to have because they're conversations we're having from a place of just such love and care for another person. But I always say use I statements and, you know, choose a low pressure time. So don't start this conversation in the middle of an argument or, you know, in the morning if you're both rushing to get out to work. A trick I always give my clients is to preface the conversation before actually having it. So say something like, you know, above all else, I love you and I care for you and I want to help you through this. And even a simple sentence like that before delving into more, you know, serious conversation topics can actually make such a difference. And even the person that's struggling, they may not understand it there and then, but they really appreciate it after the fact when they've got through their struggles.
A lot of people will feel pressure to almost, I hate to use the word fix, but fix their partner when they're going through it, when they're going through struggles. Where is the line between supporting someone and becoming responsible for their mental health?
Yeah, there's a very distinct line here. And I get what you mean about the word fix. You know, we'll never be able to fix another person and nobody is there to be fixed. We're all just there to be understood and understand the way we act and feel the way we feel. that's all completely perfect and normal and part of being human. But there is a very distinct line here, and that line is agency. So basically acknowledging your limitations in all of this too. You know, you can be their partner and you can be the best partner in the world. It doesn't matter how good of a partner you are, you won't be able to be their therapist and their partner. So I always say to clients or anyone, you know, if you know of anyone that's struggling, support is holding their hand while they walk along this path that could be quite difficult. And I hate to say the word, but, you know, fixing them is like dragging them down that path by their ankles and hoping it's going to work. It's just not. But a nice little thing to know as well, that being there and being supportive and holding their hand is a key determinant for the person struggling to actually engage in what we call help-seeking behaviours. So when they know they have that support and that love and that care at home, they're much more likely to engage in counselling or, you know, speaking to their GP or whatever they may need to support their mental health.
For the partner then to play a partner role in this and to hold their hand as they go along the, as this path, as you've described, what are some ways to support them and hold their hand if they're going through the likes of anxiety or depression or low self-esteem? What are some, I hate to use like tips, you know, that feels like such a trivial, it's such a trivial word for such a serious matter, but I'm sure you know what I mean.
Yes, of course. You know, validation is huge. And something I see quite frequently is we as humans tend to have a tendency to try and talk people out of their feelings or trying to convince them not to feel that way. And of course, we have the best of intentions when we do this, because naturally, none of us want to feel the uncomfortable emotions that come with, you know, anxiety or depression or feeling low in ourselves. So when we see someone we love going through them, we just try and like talk them out of it and say, no, don't feel like that, feel like this. And look, that's all natural instinct. But the most important thing we can do for someone is validate them, listen to them, give them that space to sit and have that conversation if that's what they need to have. And if they need to have that conversation over and over and over again, that's completely fine. Let them know that it's a safe space and you are there to listen to them and acknowledge how hard that must be for them to carry. Because we've all been there at some point. They're not nice emotions to feel, but it's definitely easier when you have someone in your corner and they're listening to you without judgment.
When people have perhaps a history of suffering with their mental health, is it possible that even though a relationship is supposed to, in inverted commas, make you really happy, it can have the adverse effect on someone who has been struggling with their mental health?
Of course. I think, you know, this is something I see quite frequently as well. You know, a relationship can certainly contribute to your happiness and absolutely should contribute to your happiness, don't get me wrong, but it can't be the source of your happiness. It can't be all of your happiness. Because when we do that, we're putting, you know, pressure on another person to, you know, feel a responsibility for our happiness, but we're outsourcing our happiness onto someone or something else that we have only so much control over. So yes, if a relationship is, you know, toxic or inconsistent or lacks safety, it can exacerbate existing struggles or even create new ones, like I mentioned earlier. So a relationship should be that soft landing space, and no relationship is perfect at the end of the day. You know, there's always going to be arguments and, you know, tough times. That's very natural and normal for, you know, being human. But, you know, a relationship shouldn't be a source of, you know, constant turbulence or chaos, because that, you know, if it is, that can actually really, really affect our mental health in many, many ways.
We were speaking about the partner and the idea of holding someone else's hand as they go down the road to get support with their mental health. For someone who's in that position, who might be listening this evening, who has been supporting their partner but is perhaps feeling a bit emotionally drained at the minute, how can they protect their own mental health as well in all of this?
Of course, like, you can't pour from an empty cup. And I think that's a saying, you know, we say a lot nowadays, but it is so true. You cannot pour from an empty cup. It is okay, and it's very, very necessary for you to have hobbies and friends and a life outside of your relationship or your partner that is purely just yours. That type of boundary is a very necessary feature of every relationship in our life. And boundaries are actually the key to how we stay healthy enough to keep caring and loving for our partners. And I always give this analogy to my clients, and if they're listening, they're like, oh God, she's off on this tangent again. But do you know when you go into a supermarket and you can see, do you know, the bakery section, and there's the cakes and they're all like pre-sliced, you can buy them?
Yes.
I always say, yeah, we've all seen them. That cake represents your life, and each slice is a different part of your life. Now, we can label each slice as we want to, but that relationship is only one slice. It's not the whole cake. Now, it's a very important slice, but when it comes to managing our own mental health, our partner's mental health, or, you know, struggles we go through in relationships, you can't spend your whole time in this one slice of the cake. You have to jump out into other ones, try other ones, you know, your hobbies, your friends, your social life, your gym, your training, whatever it is, by spending time in the other slices of cake, for argument's sake, it can actually help you and support you to go back to the relationship slice and show up a little bit better there. So absolutely, get out, enjoy your friends, enjoy your hobbies, enjoy your training. And that will definitely make you, you know, be in a better headspace for when it comes back to supporting your partner with these struggles.
Finally, Chloe, during Mental Health Awareness Week, what is one message you'd love people, particularly young people who might be navigating dating and relationships right now, to take away about mental health and love this evening?
I love this question. And there's so much. I could talk on this topic for ages with young people, but I work with so many young people in navigating life struggles. And of course, love and relationships creep up, especially in the dating culture we have now, like with social media and apps and all that fun stuff. But I think the one thing I'd like to enforce into anyone that's listening is that, you know, you don't need someone to complete you or fix you. You are perfectly enough as you are, and you don't need to change anything about yourself. And as much and all as I hate to say it, that cheesy saying of you have to be able to love yourself first in order to love someone else is so true. Now, that's not saying we have to sit and be perfect before a relationship comes along, but it definitely helps. So in order to support your partner when that partner comes along, if you're still waiting for them, it's very important that you love yourself first and boost yourself up in that way as well.
Well, Chloe, that is such brilliant advice, I'm sure, for anyone listening. Someone will take that on. Where can we find you on social media if people want to hear more of your advice?
Thank you very much. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @areyouwell_therapy, and I would love to have you there over on my page.
Chloe, as always, a privilege to chat to you on iRadio's group chat. I am sure we will catch up again.
Thank you so much.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.